It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and your invitation to tomorrow's turkey trot races is right around the corner. But first, Wisconsin life. Here's Brad Kohlberg with a story about home renovation and hidden treasure.
You never know what you might find once you start renovating an old home, but that can be half the fun. Author Ron Davis thinks building and renovating are acts of faith, and he shares this story of odd coincidence and wishful thinking.
Anyone who's done serious renovation of an older home, ripping down lath and plaster, wrestling with stubborn 2x4s and prying up floorboards, has probably harbored the fantasy of finding some kind of long hidden treasure. Civil War medals, a moth-eaten bag of precious coins, possibly a secret diary full of scandalous confessions. Unfortunately, what is often discovered are crumbling foundations, rotted timbers, and plumbing issues, if not a desiccated mouse or two. But sometimes a do-it-yourselfer finds a shoe. Through an amazing coincidence, two of my friends living 200 miles apart in Wisconsin told me shoe discovery stories. One was Celia, who found a dainty little girl's shoe in the recess above a window she and her husband Paul were replacing in their 1890s farmhouse in Amherst. The shoe was worn through, the leather cracked, but the cunning button hooks that ran up the side and its pointed toe still conveyed the elegance of old-world craftsmanship. Celia was fascinated with the shoe, both for the mystery of how it came to be there and the history of its owner. A high school art teacher, she added the shoe to her collection of objects to be sketched by her students, and then, 20 years later, passed the shoe on to the new owners of her home when she and her family moved. Another friend, Joe, has a reputation in his small town of Marshall for treasuring all things old. In fact, he and his wife, Carrie, have devoted a good share of their life to renovating a small hotel built there in 1873 as their family's home. A neighbor down the street who was rehabbing his own 100-year-old home told Joe, "You're going to like this," and pointed to a toolbox holding a well-worn girl's boot he had found between two wall studs. Since retirement from a clinical psychology practice, Joe has devoted himself to charitable pursuits, repairing and repurposing antique furniture for auctions and fundraisers. He saw a different possibility for the shoe, offering a $250 scholarship competition to Marshall High English students who wanted to try writing an essay, poem, or story about the shoe, now property of the Marshall Historical Society. Though 30 years separated my hearing the two shoe stories, it felt like too much of a coincidence, and a little light research revealed it wasn't. Placing a shoe in a wall, a floor, behind a chimney, or above a door during construction is a tradition that dates back to the 12th century. Largely a European practice, particularly in the UK, shoes were even placed beneath the choir stalls in England's Winchester Cathedral, circa 1304. Building historians guess the concealed shoes originally served as magical charms to ward off witches, demons, and ghosts. Though a shoe placed under a bedroom floor may have been associated with fertility, think old woman who lived in a shoe, which may also explain why shoes are traditionally tied to the bumpers of newlyweds' cars. In America, hiding a child's shoe in the wall was a strong tradition, mainly in the Northeast. But apparently the custom was carried all the way to the Midwest before evidently dying out in the mid-20th century. Superstition or quaint custom, I see concealing a shoe in a wall as a poignant symbol of faith, of the confidence and of the risks that lie behind anyone's notion to build or renovate a home. A concealed child's shoe, scuffed, cracked, and worn, is like the penny tossed into a fountain, a talisman of hope.
Ron Davis is a retired English teacher and the author of Shiny Side Up, Musings on the Improbable Inclination to Travel on Two Wheels. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
From concealed shoes to your running shoes, it's the morning show, and we have a link to this weekend's turkey trot races right now up at wpr.org/mornings. And with a growing number, there's likely to be one near you wherever you are this morning. So let's stretch those hammies, lace up our running shoes, and burn some calories with a record-holding runner who's also helping beginners get started one stride at a time. What's it like to make it to the finish line? Especially if you may be dressed like a giant turkey for tomorrow's turkey trots. 1-800-642-1234. If you've had the experience, we'd be interested in having you share. You can always email us ideas at WPR.org. Our guest, Tania Fisher, Director of Health and Wellness at Social X in Milwaukee, a young professional diversity and inclusion consulting group. Also lead captain of a local running group there called Fear. Also a five record holder at the UW-Milwaukee for her running and an member of the Athletic Hall of Fame. Tania, welcome back to the morning show.
Hi, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you. And let's start logistics, because I heard in the forecast this morning, the temperature is going to be dropping, the wind's going to be going up. So for those who are trying to make it a little more than 3 miles running tomorrow, it's one thing to see the folks running in the summertime in the good weather. It's another thing to see them running in the wind and the cold. How do you prepare for your cold weather running, Tania?
So I always err on the caution of wearing more clothes than normal. So you can always take clothes off. You can never put clothes on that you don't have, right? So, and I'm scary, and I always want to overdress because I hate being cold. So I would, for an outfit, if you're not wearing a giant turkey, because you'll definitely be warm, those get really sweaty. I can tell you that. So in any costume, I ran a full mascot before. It's hot in there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. If you're not doing that, I would suggest like fleece lined leggings and then a long sleeve, you know, dry fit shirt to keep you from sweating, because afterwards you hate to be sweaty and cold. Like, that's a horrible combination. And then maybe a short sleeve over it. And then maybe like a thin zip up, you know, little jacket. And then if you do have family members cheering you on, it's nice to always, if you can, take off those layers and kind of throw to them.
Oh, so you have people to give your clothes to as you get warmed up and get going.
Oh yeah, cheering is great. I love for you to cheer, but if you could take my clothes, yes, I'll love you forever.
It takes a team.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, and those jackets are nice because you can at least tie it around your waist if you do tend to get a little warm too.
But let's talk about that cold air, because that's the burning of the lungs is the thing I remember from running in the cold, Tania, is how that air hits your lungs and how that feels like it's on fire even though it's freezing.
Yeah, so I mean, now we can be safe and prevent that by wearing a mask. Those are really nice. They do have running masks. I mean, before the pandemic, people were wearing those enough to run in the winter to cover up your cheeks, your face that gets so cold. But I mean, masks really do help with that. And you could be safe in the crowd.
Tania Fisher, our guest this morning, a record-holding runner in her own right, lead captain of a local running group in Milwaukee called Fear, director of health and wellness at Social X in Milwaukee. If you've got questions about your first turkey trot or maybe some stories about your last turkey trot, 1-800-642-1234. So for those, Tania, who will be taking on a 5K for the first time tomorrow, how do they approach it mentally? And that's the other thing I remember about running is really is mind over matter. It really is one stride at a time, and it really is telling your body what to do, even though your body's arguing with you.
Yeah. So I always say that running is 90% mental and the rest is what you trained. Your mind is very powerful. So it's just keeping those positive affirmations and to have fun. That's the number one rule. You're out here to have fun. It's Thanksgiving Day. Majority of you will be running with family, and that's something to cherish and don't take for granted. So I would just say go out there and have fun. Don't start too fast. I think that is always a mistake by first-time runners, that they start really fast. So I would just start really comfortably. And if you do start to feel like the race is moving too fast, it always settles. You'll always get into a pace where you feel comfortable after a half mile or mile.
That's a mental thing too, right, Tania? I mean, you could feel like the pack's leaving you behind, but that's just the feeling. Hold your pace.
Right. Right. Yes. Worry about yourself. Worry about your own race, what you're doing, not anyone else for sure. But that pack will, and I know your shoulders start to rise up to your neck. You know, your breathing starts to get heavy. It changes because you're worried that, you know, you're running too fast. You won't be able to last. Like, it will settle. I promise you, those packs, they settle down. Everyone gets in their groove. And smile and wave and laugh at the great costumes you're going to see out there and think about all that great food you're going to eat later.
There you go. Just get some exercise, make some room for the meal ahead of you. Tania Fisher, our guest, an avid runner in her own right. And Tania, I'm curious, what influenced you to start running? How did you get going?
So I started when I was 12. I'm Milwaukee born and raised. I went to Milwaukee School of Languages, and they had a race that was just, you had to run around the block, and I won, and I loved it. I love that feeling of winning, right? I got a little like trophy, and I liked that feeling. I liked that feeling of running. I liked that feeling of being competitive, and it was something that I knew I was good at. And being a girl, knowing something that you excel at is very important. So I liked that. So, you know, I continued on a high school and college, and now I help other adults achieve that great feeling of running.
Well, it doesn't always feel that great when you're getting going. In fact, it can feel like a block might be too much to run for the first time. But if you can make it the block the first time, and you can make it a block and a step after the second time, isn't that how it works in the long run, Tania?
Yes. So with our running group, Free Your MKE, also stands for Forget Everything and Run, we are dedicated to helping those first-time runners or runners of all levels. And yes, do not stress about, I have to run a mile, and if I don't run a mile, I'm not a runner. Just taking that one step at a time. I also coached high school track and cross country, so those kiddies, they're running for the first time as well.
Right.
So, yeah, so I just try to encourage them. Okay, let's look at this tree. Let's run to this tree. And when you get to this tree, you can walk. We'll walk to the next tree and then run to the next tree. And just continuing to do that. And then next time you can elongate it. You'll run to two trees ahead, maybe.
Tania Fisher, I really appreciate this perspective, and I'd be interested in knowing if anybody's planning on bringing their family to the Turkey Trots tomorrow at 1-800-642-1234. Our guest started running with her entire family, who runs a run around the block, which she won, and that was just the first finish line that she was first to meet. Tomorrow's not a race, though. It's just a run, and it's fun. So we'd like to hear from you before we're done with this hour, and our guest, Tania Fisher, at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and it's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. So these turkey trot races are relatively new to me, but tomorrow will be Buffalo, New York's 126th annual turkey trot. They boldly claim to be the oldest consecutively run foot race in the world. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're running through Wisconsin winters and getting you ready for your turkey trot tomorrow. You plan to attend or run in a turkey trot this year? Where are you going? 1-800-642-1234 is the email to join our conversation. And our guest, Tania Fisher, a member of the UW-Milwaukee Athletic Hall of Fame with 5 running records to her name, and that's going all the way back to 2006. Let's go to Nancy in Green Bay this morning. Nancy, good morning. You're on with Tania Fisher.
Well, good morning.
Hi. Are you going to do a turkey trot tomorrow?
We are. Our whole family does this every year. We do the turkey trot here in Green Bay.
Tell us about the whole family. What do you mean there? You got how many generations are going to do the run?
3 and a dog.
And the
my
dog.
My husband and I, our son and his wife, and their 2 children and their dog, and they're coming from Minneapolis. We've done this for many, many years.
What is it about the turkey trot that keeps bringing your family back, Nancy?
Well, it's really a nice tradition to start off our Thanksgiving day. It's a good way to get some exercise before we eat all that food tomorrow. and it's just a really nice day. Very fun, not competitive, just a fun time.
And are there any costumes among your family that will be making their way down the parade or the race route tomorrow?
Well, there won't be from my husband and myself, but I never know what our children are going to do, so.
Can't wait. Have fun, and thank you for joining us this morning, Nancy.
Thank you.
Tania, the whole family running has me thinking about what I've seen outside my front door, and that is young mothers running with strollers, and I'm wondering, I'm wondering if you have any advice for young mothers with strollers and how they can continue to exercise and run with their baby in tow.
Yeah, so one of our fear captains, actually, Steve Broadway, he just had, he's our first fear captain baby. So we had to make sure that we bought him a running stroller. So we invested in a running stroller for him so he can make sure to have baby Brixton out there. And so I just would encourage either to start way in the front so you aren't in all that, you know, traffic with people, or in the back. If you're going to a turkey trot, to make sure you can maneuver. And then those crowds start to thin out and you'll have room to move around. But I'm going to plug my run group again. We're really welcome to first time, you know, runners and mommies and daddies to come out with those babies. We love to see those kids, especially if you have a running stroller, if they just want to run, walk beside you. We are very encouraging of that. First, you know, these moms, you got enough to worry about. I don't want you to worry about, you know, like if you feel like you want to run and you can get out there, by all means, you know, go right ahead. It's hard for me to get out there and it's just me. So I hear you. I understand. But if you can get a run in and, you know, possibly get that baby on a nap during that run, go right ahead.
Tania, the other thing that we should mention for your run group, Fear MKE, is that how many beautiful places there are to run in Milwaukee, how many sight lines there are, how getting along the lake on a beautiful day, there's just nothing like it out there.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous. We run by the lake every Saturday morning, and it's just so nice to see so many other faces out there running or laying out, and it's great. So we love it.
Let's continue with your calls this morning at 1-800-642-1234. Runners looking for long distance ideas, runners getting ready to get a turkey costume on and do a turkey trot tomorrow, about a 5K. Let us know about it. Josh in Oak Creek, you're on the morning show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. So I did my first 5K in November, first one ever. And as you prep for it, I noticed there was a debate about do you or don't you shower prior to going to your run. And it was like 50-50. People like, oh, no, don't do that. It'll mess you up. And then other people like, no, it wakes you up. You got to do it.
Not to shower? Josh, how was your first 5K, by the way? And will you be doing another one?
I definitely will be doing another one. No doubt about it. The last half mile was a bear.
Yeah.
But like she said, you got to run to that next tree. I mean, that's what you do.
Got to run to that next tree, one stride at a time. Really appreciate
that.
Fun.
It was great.
Tania, what advice do you have for Josh? To shower or not to shower?
I would say to shower. I like to feel good before I start a race. I want to smell good. I want to look good. And yes, it does wake you up. So I have always showered before a race, even in college. I've always showered before.
Now, a lot of folks will be doing turkey trots tomorrow because they want to burn some calories before they load on some calories. But I'd be curious to know what sort of meal routine you'd have before a race or on race day, Tania.
So a lot of things happen during your race, especially this is the first time your body is doing things it's never done. I would not switch up your routine at all. So if you have a granola bar and coffee for breakfast, do that tomorrow. If you have a bagel, grapefruit, if that's what you do every day, I would not switch it up. I would do that. Also, during your training, it might be too late, but whatever you had those mornings before your training, and if you didn't get an upset stomach or nothing weird happened, stick with that. I wouldn't switch to do anything different or new.
How much of running, and we talked about your 90% mental, but how much of running is also listening to your body, is just being aware of what your body is telling you about what it's going to do?
Oh, my goodness. That is everything. It's not worth it. So if you are, it's just not for a 30 shot tomorrow, not for any, you know, if you are feeling some aches and pains and you know your body, you know, if that's a level 3 and you know, like, oh, I can keep going. If you know that's hitting to a level 8, 9, you know, you have to stop and, you know, check in with yourself and check in with your body to make sure you can finish or what you need to do. But that's very important. It's absolutely not worth it. There'll be other races too, other times.
You can always run. So if it's, yeah, if your body's telling you no, then it's probably best to listen. Right. So as we get ready for tomorrow and, you know, through the winter, how do you keep yourself going? When you wake up in the morning, Tania, and you're saying, you're not your body so much, but your mind saying, you know what, I'm tired. I want to hit that snooze button about 8 times and then call it a day. What is it that keeps you on your feet and running?
So a lot of my fear members do. I initially was not planning on doing a turkey trot, but now some of those guys are, it's like, I don't know. I usually do run on my own, but, they're doing one tomorrow. So maybe I'll do one now because they're doing one and I want to hang out with them. So that's motivating. Having friends that also enjoy that same crazy running activity that you do. I like to join a gym in the winter time. So Blue Fitness in Sherwood and Milwaukee. I like to do that in the winter as well. I host the 30 for 30 challenge, 30 minutes for 30 days starting January 2nd. Ooh. So that helps. Yeah. That helps me keeps me motivated. Holds us all accountable. So those are some of the things. I love running, but sometimes, you know, I need to take a little breather from it and, get back to it, learn to appreciate it again.
And get to that finish line. Tania Fisher, appreciate it every time. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Tania Fisher is Director of Health and Wellness at SocialX in Milwaukee, a young professional diversity and inclusion consulting group. She's a Hall of Famer at the UW-Milwaukee and lead captain of the local running group, Fear MKE. Just ahead, we talk with the author of a new book on the history of the Postal Service and the ongoing threats to its existence. I'm Lee Rayburn. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.